you, Chris. Thank you, everybody. I got told that that oaks are in today, was what I was told. Andrew, you need to know oaks are in today. So are you an oak? If you're, where are you, oaks? Some there. Oh, some there. Brilliant. Okay. So this one's for you, because I said, how old is an oak? And they said, well, if you don't know how old you are, how am I going to know? How old is an oak? Pardon? 8, 10. How else old? Oh, gosh, this is going to be hard work this morning, isn't it? All right. How can you find out the age of an oak? Chop it in half and count the rings, obviously. All right. Let's try something else. marches forward. Right, we're doing Hebrews. This will teach you. We're doing Hebrews. And for those of you that have been following our series on Hebrews, you will know that what is going on in this book is very complicated. Essentially, he has been telling us that Jesus is better than the angels and the prophets. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than the priests. And we're now, as James said last week when he was leading us, on Jesus is better than the sacrifices. And the trouble with this book in Hebrews is it assumes you know a whole load of stuff that most of us don't know. And you'd think you ought to. You'd think as leader of the church, I ought to know how old an oak is. But I don't know, because I don't concentrate. And on this book, if you're going to understand it, you need to understand more about the way Jewish people do stuff than most of us know. It's a little bit like if I said to you, hey, it's like Christmas. Now, if I say to you, it's like Christmas, what do you think of? Christmas trees. Presents. Mince pies. Carol. Called carols, not carol. What else? What do you think of when I say Christmas? Family. Chocolate. Jesus, oh, well done. Who knew? Donkeys, all sorts of things. Now imagine, so if I said to you, oh, okay, so you remember at Christmas we eat turkey, you'd all say, yeah, yeah, we understand that. But imagine you've never heard of Christmas. And I said to you, it's like Christmas. You'd all think, well, I don't really know what you mean. And that's pretty much the way we read Hebrews. It's like this. Well, I don't quite know what you mean. And this week is just like that. And what I want you to understand we're doing this morning is we are helping next week's preacher. That's all we're doing. Because next week is really good. This week, we've got the other bit. And so we're going to spend our whole morning helping James to do an amazing preach next week. We're going to explain the Christmas tree, the turkey, the carols, the mince, all of that, but in the Jewish world. Okay, you with me? Right, okay, so now first of all, involve the oaks, I was told. So, Hebrews 9, 1 to 11. Who's a really, really good reader and is somewhere between 8 and 10 years old? See, I didn't even know that. 7. You are, right? Come here. Come here. Quick. Where's my mic? Right. Oh, you're quite short, aren't you? When did you get bigger? Should we make you bigger now? Stand on there. Right. Now, can you hold and read, or should we do, what do you think? Hold and read? Shall I hold it for you? You try it. Okay, so this is going to be read for us excellently. But tell everybody your name.
James.
Into the microphone.
James.
And nice and loudy. Do it again.
James.
Brilliant. Now, at that, read Hebrews 9, 1 to 10, which is a bit in the yellow box.
The first covenant between God and Israel had regulations for worship and a place of worship here on earth. There were two rooms in the tabernacle. In the first room were a lampstand, a table, and sacred loaves of bread on the table. This room was called the holy place. Then there was a curtain, and behind the curtain was the second room, called the most holy place. In that room was gold incense, altar, and a wooden chest called the Ark of the Covenant, which was covered in gold on all sides. Inside the ark were a gold jar containing manna, Aaron's staff that sprouted leaves, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of divine glory, whose wings stretch over out of the ark's cover, the place of an monument. But we cannot explain these things in detail now. When these things were all in place, the priests regularly entered the first room as they performed their regular duties. But only the high priest ever entered the most holy place, and only once a year. And he always offered blood for his own sins and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. By these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance to the most holy place was not really open as long as the tabernacle and the system represented were still in use. This is an illustration pointing to the present time, for the gifts and sacrifices that priests offer are not able to cleanse the consciences of the people who bring them. For that old system deals with only food and drink and various cleaning ceremonies, physical regulations that were only in effect only until a better system could be established.
Wow, thank you.
Thank you, James.
James is right. James is right. He's a good reader, isn't he? Okay, so now the big question is, and this is for grown-ups as well as little ones, who understood that? Well, none of you. Mike Thorne. Mike Thorne's done proper grown-up leadership theology stuff. Mike Thorne understands it. Who else understands it? Mike's down to you, mate. All right, let's see if we can work this out, because if we don't get this right, James's preach next week is going to be rubbish. I'm going to need a lot of help to make this work. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through it bit by bit. I think I'll put this down. I'll probably need it again in a minute. So, first of all, what I think I'm going to do, I'm going to ask Oakes to help me. So, Oakes, can you come forward, please, and come and join me? Come and join me, come and join me, come and join me. Come along. You'll regret it in a minute if you don't, trust me. There are some good bits coming up. Right. I thought there were more of you than that, but hello, hello, hello. Now, okay, the first thing we've got to get to happen is, you see these people here? We need to move them because they're in the way. So, what I would like you to do, please, oh, there's four of you, that's convenient. Can I have one person standing about here? Thank you, Lily. One person stand at the back, exactly opposite where Lily is. Thank you, James. Bit more, bit more, bit more. Bit more that way, bit more that way. Stop. Right. One of you, brilliant. And then if you can go to the back exactly opposite, let's just come this little bit further. Bit more, bit more, bit more. Stop. Right. Okay. Now, middle blocks. This line between there and there and there and there is now the front. So you all need to move yourselves so that you're facing that way, no further forward than those four people. Got that? So you can stand seats, but take the seats. I want this whole area clear. Right, you've got 10 seconds to run around. Start from now, for those of you who remember run around. Diane, if you just spin your chair round... If you just spin your chair round, yeah. You'll be in exactly the right place.
I will. Sorry.
There we are. No, don't be sorry. You're brilliant. Oh, right. That's it? Right, that, so far the left side are winning. The right side are doing quite well. James, are they in the line? Yeah, okay, you're getting there. Right. So, Lily, let's just put this here. Let's make sure you're all in the line. Yes. And I think you guys need to go back about three paces. Just a little bit. Can you just come backwards just a tad, please, Diane?
Sorry, Diane.
Just go backwards a couple of inches. Not far. Right, that's the whole health and safety thing gone to pieces. Now, we're cooking on gas. We're going. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take this bit by bit. Whoopsie daisy, too far. The first covenant between God and Israel had regulations for worship. Who knew? Regulations for worship. We don't have regulations for worship, do we? Definitely not. We don't have a thing where everybody says that Sunday, come on people, wake up, it's morning. We never have that. Regulations for Israel and a place of worship here on earth. And there were two rooms in that tabernacle. Now, a tabernacle is a fancy word for tent, surprisingly enough. And it's saying there were two rooms, and we're going to make those two rooms, okay? First thing you need to understand, though, is that the tabernacle actually sits in the middle of a... Doesn't work very well, does it? Actually sits in the middle of a wider area. So that whole area where the kind of tented wall is, that's the courtyard area, and we're going to be looking at the tent in the middle called the tabernacle. Have you got that? Right, okay. So there were two rooms. So we'll say that the PA desk here is the kind of front entrance to the tabernacle. And there are two rooms. So the first room would finish, say, about where, yeah, here, where Ian is. And then the second room is here. Still with me? Okay. In the first room were a lampstand. Right, so you know the shopping bag of surprises? I've gone beyond that. First of all, can I have a healthy volunteer, please? Right, there is a lampstand. Go and put it in the first room. It's quite heavy, be careful. Now, I should point out, go and put it in front of Victor, I think, that sort of area. So I'm over here somewhere. I should point out that the lampstand did not look like this. But it is lovely. Brilliant, that's good. Is it standing? Right, what was next? A table. Can you lift a table? Come on, James. You can... Two of you? Right, okay. This is complicated. Mind your fingers on this one. Oh, can you carry it? Right, there's a table. Now, put that exactly opposite the lampstand, if you can, please. Preferably without wrecking the place. Says me. Right, let's find some big people and tell them to put the table up, but do it nicely. So, please, big people, will you put the table up? Oh, Chris is doing it. That's very helpful. Chris, you could have got all those other people to do it. I wanted them not to do that because of their fingers. I did say find big people, didn't I? I'm just doing a health and safety thing. Right. Okay, now, can you turn the table around, please? That's brilliant. That's good. And then we need to move them a bit wider apart. So that one can go that way, and the lampstand can go that way. Okay, where have we got to? Oh, in a reserve and a table. Oh, and sacred loaves of bread on the table. Right. Put one of those on the table, two of those on the table. Now, these as sacred loaves of bread go, aren't quite what they were. But I do know how many there were that, oh, look, all of a sudden, wanting to play, yeah. No. I do know how many were. There were 12 of them. Okay? So I need 6 loaves of bread on each table. Can you do that between you? Do you want to put some bread on the table? It's good stuff. On each plate, rather. Does anybody know what the bread was? Unleavened. Do you know why it was there? It was an offering. Oh, you see. Oh, I need to go a little bit more work on you. On your Torah, people. Come on. Thank you very much. Right. Okay. How many have you got out?
Six on
each. Brilliant. Okay. So let's have the other bit back. Oh, that's very pretty. Well done. That's an exact match. Good. Okay. So, sacred loaves of bread on the table. Right. Now, so this room, which stops about here, is called the holy place. Got that? Right. What's next? I don't know because I've lost my clicker. Then there was a curtain. Right. Wait there. Now, I think we should say the curtain probably didn't look like this. But you can be the curtain. So, what I need you to do is, one of you hold that end, one of you hold the other end. Just, no, wait there. Wait, stand about there in front of Diane. And James, you can do this one, fine. And one of you stand about there. And then that, now, okay, so there we are. So that, now, is the curtain. Now, this curtain obviously went floor to ceiling. And there was another one exactly like this. No, it's not a great curtain, I know. Another one exactly like this, just in front of the PA desk. Oh, it wasn't obviously just in front of the PA desk. It was at the entrance to the tent. This one had some lovely embroidery on it. That one didn't. It was kind of, hello, reds and blues. Baby comes much, much later. Okay, where are we? You're on it. Well done. In that room were a gold incense altar. Ah, yeah. Gold incense altar. We need one of them. I'm a bit low on gold incense altars, it has to be said. So we're going to run with a box again. And something that's got a bit of gold in it. Okay. So now, just go in front of the curtain for me for a moment, please. There's a little bit of debate. I want to put this in here. There's a little bit of debate about whether this was which side of the curtain it actually went. For the purpose of this particular demonstration, because we're going out of running out of room, we're going to have it around this side. So can you just come around to the front for me? Pop it on the floor. Hello. Well, yeah, but if I had two chairs, I wouldn't need you. Right, let's cover this up with this, as you've done, and we're pretending it's not really covered by a blue box. This is actually gold. Unfortunately, we didn't have as much budget as I wanted. It's a golden box. It's a golden box, right. And a wooden chest called the Ark of the Covenant, which was covered in gold on all sides. So, look, come back to me. Now, here we have, clearly, the Ark of the Covenant.
Enormous box.
And that can go just in the middle here, just in the middle of this area here. Here is fine. Right, okay. Do you want to just lower the veil, the curtain for the moment, and sit down so that everybody can see? That's it. So we just have to pretend this is still up. So this is not a plastic box from IKEA. This is, in fact, the Ark of the Covenant. And it is solid gold, as you can see. Right. Now, inside this box was a jar containing some manna, Aaron's staff, and the stone tablets of the covenant. That was the stone tablets that the Ten Commandments were written on when they were up in the mountain. Got that? Right. Above the ark were the cherubim of divine glory. Have we got any cherubim here? That, you look exactly like a cherubim, and you're almost exactly right. Can I have another one as well, please? One more cherubim. Because there's two cherubim. I need two cherubim. Do you want to be a cherubim? Right, now, actually, I want you there. Now, you're not going to be able to do this because, A, you're not made of gold, and, B, this is a cheap plastic box from IKEA. But what you would be doing if you were real cherubim is you would be sat on there, and your wings would be stretched out like that. Can you do that? Just stretch out like that, above your head, nice and high, head down low because you're in worship. Coffee? So, this now is what the ark looks like, or obviously not, but anyway. And this cover here is the place of atonement. You with me still? Okay, stay there for as long as you can hold it for me, please. But we can't explain these things in detail now, so that's it, sorry. Now, what I want you to understand is this place here is called what? The most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. And this place is called the holy place. Yeah, so you've got the holy place, and you've got the Holy of Holies. Now, in here, if you imagine the curtain is up, it's going floor to ceiling, so there is no light getting in here. But God himself lives here, and so the Shekinah glory is known, provides the brightness of the light. Are you with me? In here, this is the holy place. Again, the curtain's up there, but the lampstand provides the light. Still with me? Okay, so we now know where the light is coming, and we know what the holy place is, we know what the holy holies is, we know what the bread is, we know what the lamp is, we know what the... Well, we'll come to the incense thing in a minute. Okay, when these things were in place, the priests regularly entered the first room as they performed their religious duties. So let's just stop there for a moment. In all of Israel, in all of the world, before the time of Christ, God made his dwelling place with mankind. Where? In the Holy of Holies. So this is where God is. This is how you get to meet with God. So, who wants to meet with God? This is a genuine question to adults and children. Who wants to meet with God? The thing is that we're in the old covenant, and you lot can't because you've got the wrong mum and dad. So I'm sorry about that. It's just the way it is. However, for the purposes of today, you guys are with the right mum and dad. You're from the tribe of Levi, is the word I'm trying to find. You're from the tribe of Levi. So, as it happens, despite this lot being able to meet, not being able to meet God, you guys, you're all right. You get to come in. So, you're priests, okay, from the tribe of Levi, all of you. Right, when these things were placed, the priests regularly entered the first room as they performed their religious duties. So, Ruby, can you come out of the second room for me, please, and come into the first room? Sorry, Lily. And then can you all come forward, and you need to do your religious duties? I wonder if there was more to it than that. So, the religious duties were, very quickly, to trim the lamp morning and evening so that the light shined, because it wouldn't be made of candles, it would have been made of, it would have had, what's that stuff, oil. It's very complicated, isn't it? Oil. And then on the Sabbath, you replaced the bread with 12 fresh loaves. And guess what you got to do with the old bread? Pardon? Eat it. So there we are. You can eat it. Because it happens to be Sabbath yesterday. Now, only the Levites can eat this. So that means in this purpose, it's only an oak. Are you an oak? Do you want a biscuit? It's up to you. It's there if you want it. If you don't want it, it's fine. It's not a problem. What are you doing? Right. And so once a week, every day, twice a day, they would come and they would perform their religious duties. This got them close to God. And once a week, they got to eat the bread, which they appear to be enjoying. But only the high priest, and only once a year, got to come into the holy place. So how of you guys, which of you would really like to go in and meet with God himself? Well, unfortunately, you can't, because it's the wrong day. It's only one day you get to go in. And so, and only the high priest. Which one of you is the high priest? And the lot fell on you. Brilliant. So, for today, it is the Day of Atonement, and you get to come in. So when you finish your biscuit, I need the curtain back up, please. And we'll explain how and what happened on that day. But at the moment it says, he always offered blood for his own sins and for the sins of the people had committed in ignorance. So we're going to go back to the Old Testament now, because this explains what was going on. This is how Aaron was the first high priest, and all the other high priests after that are referred to when they're talking about Aaron. This is how he can enter the holy place. He must first bring a young bull for a sin offering. Have you brought a bull with you? Right, hang on. Can you take that and give it to a high priest who hasn't provided everything required? There is your young bull. He must first bring a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Yeah, I couldn't find a ram either, so we'll have to make do without the ram for the moment. A ram, by the way, is a male goat. So, there we are. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic and linen undergarments next to his body and tie them around him and put on the linen turban. Have you got your linen?
No, but I have got a ram.
Right, that's not a ram, that's a bull. You mustn't mess them up.
No, I can make it.
Right, okay, let's find your sacred garments then. Now, again, it's slightly confusing as to which sacred garments they wear at what point, or he wears at what point, but don't worry about that for the moment. Let's put on your sacred garments. So this is your linen tunic, or silk in this case. This is supposed to be the breastplate, it's all I've got. This is the turban. Okay, and how do you feel? Fine and good? Show everybody how you're getting on. Right, so where are we up to? Can't see. Put the sacred garment and then linen garment next to his body. He is to tie a linen sash around and put them on the turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. Did you wash?
Yes.
Did you have a bath before you put them on? No, okay. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll just do a quick... Right, just in case. Right. You've bathed yourself, you've put your clothes on. These are probably the white ones. And now you're to offer the bull for his own sin offering, to make atonement for himself. Now, the place where the bulls or the sacrifices are made isn't in this tent. It's outside the tent. And it would be just past Jericho. Not, Alfie, just past Jericho. But because that doesn't work. But anyway, so can you bring your bull? We're going outside of the other curtain. And just down here somewhere is an altar. And there you would sacrifice your bull. Sacrifice your bull. Kill it. Right. And then there's another couple of goats, which we haven't brought with us, and you're to present them between the Lord. So you've made the sin offering for yourself and your household. So that sin offering that you've just made makes you clean. And clean enough to go into there, but not yet. And you're also going to do the same thing with goats for everybody else. Because they're not capable of doing it for themselves. Because they're not even of the right tribe. You're going to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar. Have you got a censer? Have you got any burning coals? Right, okay. I haven't got a censer either, but today this is a censer, which isn't really what a censer looks like. Now, you've got to take that outside to where the offering was made, fill it up with some burning coals. Mind your fingers. And a couple of handfuls of finely ground incense. Yeah, didn't have any. No, don't put them in there, just hold it in your hand. Right? Where are we? And take them before or just in front of the curtain. This one here. In front of the curtain. Where are you off to? That's it. That's full of burning coals. You can't just throw it around. Right, now, this is what you get to do. You are to put the incense on the fire. And that will create smoke. And this is why it's a little bit confusing as to which side of the thing this incense thing is. Because what happens then is that the smoke comes into or creates in the Holy of Holies. So now it's smoky. And it's a nice smelling smoke because it's incense, but that's what it is. And the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover above the tablets of covenant. So it will shade this a little bit. So that when you come in, and you can come in now, and you can put your burning incense down there to create the smoke. When you come in, you don't die. Good news. It happens to be the right day. You happen to have done the right things. There's smoke in here so that you can see, and you haven't died. That's a win. Now, you'll take some of the bull's blood. Oh, I forgot this bit. You're to take some of the bull's blood, which we haven't got. I didn't forget it. I remember now. I wasn't allowed to bring any. I said, but can I have red food colouring? Because that's made of cochineal, which is blood. Thank you. But I wasn't allowed that either. So we've got to pretend this bit, which is a shame, really, isn't it? Anyway, so you'll take some of the bull's blood, and with your finger, you are to spread it in front of the atonement cover. So just pop a bit on the front of the atonement cover. That's brilliant. And then sprinkle some of it with your finger 7 times. Sprinkle it 7 times. You sure? Are you sure? You've done it 7 times. Brilliant. Okay. Now, what's happened now is our great high priest is able to be accepted before God and is now in a position where our great high priest can do something for everybody else. So what happens next is you're going to go back outside and you're going to slaughter the goat we didn't bring. So go back outside, both of you, that's fine. Back out to where the altar was. Kill a goat. Get the blood of the goat and bring it in. So you shall slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people, and you're going to take its blood behind the curtain. Brilliant. Where's my curtain gone? Oh, goodness me. And you're going to do with it exactly as you did with the bull's blood. You didn't do that with bull's blood, did you? What did you do? Right, you sprinkled it 7 times. And you shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it, just like you did the last time. Now, at this point, you'll be pleased to know, everybody, that you have made atonement for everybody else's sin. They are extremely grateful, but a bit like a Sunday morning, not overly keen to show it. And that is what happens on this one day. Now, there's a bit in here that I haven't included, which is to do with you taking your stuff clothes off. So you get to go back outside into the holy place again. You get to take your special clothes off. Now, what I think it was, actually, I think she would have been wearing this stuff for her, kind of normal stuff, and then white linen at this stage, but it doesn't matter. You can get to take that stuff off. You have to bathe. You get to push that button. Yeah, a bit nearer though. Bit more, because brilliant. Okay, and now you have completed. Thank you. Stage one. You're not clean enough. You have completed stage one. There's a whole bunch of other stuff going on with rams and hands being laid on them. We're not going to talk about today because it's not mentioned in here. And as the writer to the Hebrews says, we haven't got time. Okay, can you lower, please, for me the veil, the Holy of Holies? And then let's just remind everybody and see if they can remember what it is. What's this room called? What's that room called? What's this? What's this? What's on it? How much bread?
12.
What happens to the bread? Who eats it? When? They're good, aren't they? Burnt through that. There we are. What's this thing? Altar of incense. What's this? Censer. What do you put in it? And then what do you add to it? What does that do? And what does the smoke do? And where is the ark? And what's above the... Where's my cherubim gone? What's above the ark? And what happens here? God. Yeah, that'll do. God happens here. Brilliant. Okay, thank you, everybody. That's brilliant. You've understood. And by these regulations that you've just seen and demonstrated, have demonstrated for you, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance... Can I have my holy place veil up again, please? Brilliant. The entrance to the most holy place was not freely open as long as this system, the tabernacle and the system it represented, was still in use. So there we are. Now, those of you that were following all of that in your Bibles and Leviticus, you'll notice I did miss a few bits out, and I missed a few bits out because, as the writer of Hebrews says, we haven't got time. So, however, this was all to demonstrate that you cannot get into the presence of God. Mostly because you've got the wrong parents. Also, because even if you've got the right parents, you're not the high priest. Also, even if you've got the right parents and you only are a high priest, it's not the Day of Atonement. So you just don't get to God. And that's what he's saying, that... it was not open as long as this system was still in use. So we need a new system. And this, says the writer to the Hebrews, is an illustration pointing to the present time. Did you notice the illustration? Come on, we spent all morning on it. Yes would be a good answer. Right. For gifts and sacrifice that the priests offer actually aren't able really to cleanse the conscience of the people who bring them. Because that system, it really only deals with kind of food and drink and the various cleansing ceremonies, the physical regulations that were in effect only until a better covenant could be established. So you remember last week we went back and we were looking at what prophet? Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was talking about how God is going to change things and put things in our heart. So all of this stuff here is essentially, it's external. It gives you a bit of cleansing, make sure you're nice and clean before you put your clothes on, throws a lot of blood and stuff around, and it kind of gives you a temporary ability to at least one of you once a year approach God. So it needed a better system. The better system is Hebrews 9, verse 11, when Christ appeared. Have you got that? So all of this morning, was to show you that we need Christ. Because if you want to know God, until Christ came, that was the deal. And because most of us were not Levi, or from the tribe of Levi, and most of us were not even Jews, we didn't get to go anywhere near where God was. And if you tried to come into this place, and it wasn't the Day of Atonement, and you weren't the great high priest, you die. It's as simple as that. Because God is so holy, he says, I cannot allow sin in my presence. It gets consumed. So all of this, in part, was to prevent you from coming, but in part was to protect you from your own sin. What God was actually doing was, in part, protecting his people from the consequences of their sin. Because sinful stuff gets burnt up. And so he says, but I still want to meet with you. How do I do it? And builds this whole kind of elaborate structure to mean that at least once a year you get somebody, the great high priest, can come in. And then Christ appeared. And when Christ appeared, the whole deal changed. And that's what we'll look at next week. When we sing songs about coming into the most holy place, one of the things that's supposed to be in your mind is something around what this means. And so the fact that Diane and me and Ian and Sarah and everybody else can just, oh, we've just come into the presence of God. That very phrase that we use is an anathema to the old covenant people. And so what the writer of the Hebrews is saying at this point is, Jesus is a better sacrifice than the old system. And he's explaining why. I wonder where James is. Have we got any musicians left in the room? Yeah.